Before we begin our Torah study, we like to pray together. Would you join me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav vetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, I love the Torah portion that we read this week. It's called Parshat Lech Lecha. Can you say Lech Lecha with me? Lech Lecha. Fantastic scripture, the third reading of the Torah this year. It's a scripture that speaks to us about the faith of Abraham and the life of faith. And that's what we want to concentrate on, because God has called us to the life of faith and he's called us to move forward. How do you say forward in Hebrew? Kadima. And he in faith is emunah. So emunah, kadima. Emunah, faith, kadima, forward, faith forward. That's where we're headed. Our faith will move us forward. Going forward does involve leaving some things. That's what we learn from the life of Abraham. Leaving some things and embracing other things. The life of faith is different than all other kinds of life because of what we do have to leave and what we have to embrace. They're unique to the life of faith. I love Abraham's life of faith. It's such a great example, and that's why he is called the father of faith for everyone who believes. Paul said this, writing to the Romans in chapter 4. He said that Abraham was called by God when he was uncircumcised, and he responded faithfully to God. And so he's the father of faith for those who are not circumcised. And he also was circumcised in faithful obedience to God. So he's the father of faith to the circumcised. So he's the father of faith for all the nations, and he's the father of faith for the Jewish people. He's the father of faith for everyone who believes. But Paul takes it further than just believing in your head. And he says, for everyone who walks in the steps of Abraham. You see, the life of faith is not limited to how you think or how you feel or doctrines or dogmas or things like that. It's connected to what you do with your faith. God has called us to actually hear him and respond to him. And that's what we learn about through the life of Abraham. Abraham is our father if we walk in his steps. Now, if we say we believe in Abraham, but we don't follow him and follow his pattern, he's not really our spiritual father. That's very important. You know, there are three great religious movements that claim a connection to Abraham. The Jewish, the Christian, and the Muslim, Islam, all claim a connection to Abraham. But if we're really going to be connected to Abraham, we have to have the heart of Abraham. And so one of the ways to test that authenticity is to ask this: do we love the Jewish people? Because Abraham is the father of the Jewish people. And so if you lay claim to be connected to Abraham, you've got to take on the heart of Abraham. So there is a separation in Islamic teaching that does not focus on loving the Jewish people. And so in that way, it's lacking in authenticity. As well, in some Christian movements, there is a separation from the Jewish people as well through replacement theology, claiming that the church has replaced the Jewish people. Thus, it's not authentic also to the faith of Abraham, who loved the Jewish people and who was promised to be the father of nations. The Jewish people. And thus, by being a father to the Jewish people as the father of Abraham, as the father of Isaac and the grandfather of Jacob, he would be a spiritual father for everyone. So if we want to be authentic, we have to test, do we walk in the footsteps of Abraham, and do we have the same heart, attitude, and kind of faith that Abraham had? Well, let's start this morning in Genesis chapter 12. Here we have the call of Abraham and the response of Abraham. We'll start first with the call. It's in Genesis 12, verse 1, and it says, "The Lord had said to Avram, Get yourself up and go. That's lech lecha. Say that again with me. Lech lecha. Get yourself up and go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Get yourself up. That's part of our faith. God calls us, and he directs us, and he leads us, but we have to get up and get going. And until we're moving forward, it really doesn't matter what direction you're pointed in. If you sit in a parked car and the keys are in your pocket and the engine's not on and you're just turning the wheel, where do you go? Nowhere. Does it matter if you turn to the left? Nope. How about to the right? What if you look in the rearview mirror and turn around? Does that make any difference? Not a bit. Where you turn and where you head is only important when you're moving forward. Of course, you want to aim in the right direction. But aiming is only relevant if you're moving forward. Get up. Get yourself up. I believe some of us have received direction from the Lord, and he's told us, lech lecha, get up. Get going in this thing. And we've said, well, if it's the Lord, he'll get me up. That is so teenage. Why do I have to go to school? Why do I have to get up in the morning? It's immature. I mean, some teenagers, of course, are very mature. But it's immature to not get up when it's time to get up. When God is calling us and we need to respond, we can't put it back on him. Well, if it's the will of God, he'll make me do it. Wrong. If Abraham had that idea, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have the scriptures. He would have been forgotten and have had no impact on anyone. But Abraham heard the word, which was, get yourself up. So many times we want someone to make us get up, and yet God says, get yourself up. How many habits do we have that are entrenched because we don't want to take the initiative to change them? Lots of habits. We need to develop the habit of responding. Now, we see from Abraham's life that there are three aspects of leaving for him. He has to leave the homeland, he has to leave the greater people group, and he has to leave his own family. Now, your leaving may have involved the same or some of the same. Many of us have moved to get here. Let's just test this. How many people who are here today were born in Jacksonville? Would you raise your hand? I'd like to greet both of you, three of you. Okay, and all of us who were born elsewhere, let's just raise our hands. Wow, right? Not many native-born folk here. Quite a number were born in another country. How many here were born in another country? Could you raise your hand? Raise them high, be strong. Look at that. There are more people here born in other countries than born in Jacksonville. What does that tell you? Somebody heard a lech lecha somewhere. Our first languages may have been different because of where we were born. How many learned to speak another language besides English as their first language? Can you raise your hand? Again, more than were born in Jacksonville. This is an odd congregation, isn't it? You know why we have these characteristics? Because we're the children of Abraham. And there's a lech lecha process that's at work in our lives. Now, for some of us, it is not the physical move so much as it is a change of community. When God calls you, you have to connect with his body, his community, his people. If you didn't make any changes, if you are still the only friends you've got are the ones you had before God called you, there's a little lech lecha that needs to happen in your life. It's not that you need to put off all your friends and all your family. It's not that. That's not what I'm trying to say. But there is a refining and a redefinition that takes place when we join ourselves with the Lord and say, I'm going with you. Let's go to Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. These are promises that God makes. He says to Abraham, I'll make you into a great nation. and I will bless you. I like that because it tells us if we are following in Abraham's footsteps, we don't have to try to get ourselves blessed. God says he will bless us. The children of Abraham live in such a life, in such a way that our lives are blessed. God wants us to be blessed, but of course we have to be faithful. The faithfulness that we demonstrate to God releases blessing that he stores up for us. I will make your name great and you shall be a blessing. Now, many of you in your English translations have you will be a blessing. How many of you have that in your Bibles? You will be a blessing. Well, the problem with that translation is will conveys the idea of future tense. And the Hebrew is more of an imperative. And that's why I translated it, you shall be a blessing. But Martin Buber thought that the essence of this verse was, be thou a blessing. And that's captured in the JPS translation from the early century, 1917. Be thou a blessing. Say that with me. Be thou a blessing. Smile at the person near you, closest to you, and say, be thou a blessing. And since we're not so inclined to use thou in everyday language, just make it simple. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. You see, it's different to say you will be a blessing one day or automatically. That's different than say be a blessing. There are certain situations that God will bring you into, and you're going to have to decide whether you're going to be a blessing or not to other people and to be instrumental for God or not. God says, I will bless you, you be a blessing. So what do we bless people with? We bless them with all that we receive from God. Whatever God gives to us, that's what we want to draw on to give to others. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will bless themselves through you. What an incredible promise to Abraham that he will be the one who people learn to bless themselves through. And how do you really learn to bless yourself? By connecting with God. The greatest blessing is to connect to God. If you try to get blessings without a connection to God, you will find that those blessings do not endure. Oh, they may stay with you all the way until the grave, but after that, they're gone. There are things that you value, that you need, that you want on this side of life, but God's blessings are for this side of life and the afterlife, eternal life. One thing I love about this passage here, about the promises of God, is we see Abraham's future being described. And Abraham decides he's going to rely on God for all of his future life. That's why it says about him that he had hope that didn't waver and faith that didn't waver. He held on to God's promises. And I want you to see the exchanges that God was making for him. Abraham leaves a land in order to receive a land. He leaves a nation in order to become a nation. He leaves his father and his father's ways in order to become a father. You see, Abraham had no children at this point. His future, if it were tied to his past, would be not much at all. God wanted him to leave some of the things that had defined him in order to give him something new that would redefine. The calling of God is like that. It will redefine who you are and what you're about. Now, the journey that each of us takes may be different, but because Abraham is our father, his experiences are going to be repeated in our lives. There's going to be an echoing of that. Let me just test something. How many of you married someone who wasn't born in the same city that you were born in? How many of you married someone who was born in the same city? Okay, look, 2, 3, 4. Okay, representing 3 families, right? So it's For all the rest of us, congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. For the rest of us, it was connecting with someone else from another place that brought us into marriage and family life. So we may have different details, but there's a similarity in a pattern. And this is echoed in a conversation that we are going to read about between Peter and Yeshua. You can turn to Mark 10 for this. Mark 10, verse 28. The context is an interesting context. A rich young man has come to Yeshua and described all the things that he has been doing in his walk with the Lord. And he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Yeshua says, "Well, all the things you've done are good, but you need to sell everything you have and give that away and then come follow me." And that rich young man just walked away. You see, Yeshua was calling him to a lech lecha moment. And Peter turns to Yeshua. This is verse 28, and he says, "We have left everything to follow you." This is very important. Simple statement, "We left everything to follow you." He doesn't say we left everything to believe in you. We left everything to follow you. The life of faith is not just believing in your head, it's following. It's that close connection that changes where you go and what you do, not just what you say you believe. Verse 29, Yeshua said, "Yes, you did. And I can assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property." That's good news, along with trouble, persecution. You see, there's persecution that comes to those who are faithful, but there's blessing that comes. And Yeshua is saying to Peter, you have left everything to follow me, it's true. And you've given up so much, and you will receive in this life many times in return what you have given up. In the world to come, that person will have eternal life. That goes all the way back to the question of the rich young ruler. You see, leaving everything. So what is the lech lecha for those who are disciples of Yeshua? What do we have to get ourselves up and out of? Everything. What? Everything? Yes, everything that would keep us from following God. We have to leave everything that would keep us separated from God. And then we have to go towards and embrace everything new that connects us to God. It goes on, verse 31, "Many who are the greatest now will be least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." You see, our greatness is not linked to ourselves. It's linked to what God wants to do in our lives and through us. That's the pattern for Abraham. What made Abraham great? Was it his own accomplishments? No, it was just his faith. His faith in God released the blessings of God. If Abraham responded without faith, in disobedience, nothing would have happened. Lech lecha, Abraham says, "I don't think so." What if he were a couch potato? Lech lecha, "But I'm comfortable." What if his idea of activity was changing the channel on the TV? Of course, he didn't have a TV. You know what I mean. What if he was just a neutral kind of guy? Lech lecha. Well, if that's the word of the Lord, he'll certainly do it. I know many people who God has wanted to bless, but they thought that God would do all the initiating and the activating, and they didn't do their part. You have to do your part. Now, what's your part? Whatever God says is your part. If God says, lech lecha, that's your part. If God says, follow me, that's your part. When Peter wanted to fellowship with Yeshua after Yeshua was immersed in water for Tevilah. They wanted to know about him. They wanted to know, where do you live? What do you do? You know what Yeshua said? Come and see. Come and see. A lot of us just want the Lord to describe to us things. His attitude is, come and see. You go with me and you'll find out. And so they did. So our greatness at any moment, like Abraham's greatness, may seem insignificant. You may seem insignificant, but your true value may be invisible. And there is a time when God will show you your greatest value. And even if you remain invisible to others for your whole life, God's called you to be a great blessing to others now. You can be an invisible blessing. You can be anonymous in blessing others. Maybe you don't get any credit, but you will get credit. And who's keeping track? The Lord. That's right. He's keeping track. And he's saying, I will count your faith as righteousness. So God issues the call to Abraham, Lech Lecha. He gives him promises, which are incentives, no doubt. What is Abraham's response? We see this in Genesis 12:4. I love this very simple declarative sentence. So Avram went as the Lord had told him. Avram went as the Lord had told him. That's faith forward. Emunah kadima. Faith forward. The life of faith will move you forward. You can't remain stagnant and faithful. Why? Because God moves forward with people. Abraham's life is foundational for all of us who would follow the Lord. And that's why it's really, really important for us to pay close attention to his life, to learn the details of his life, because those details will be repeated in our lives. You will have Lech Lecha moments. You will have moments when the Lord is saying to you, be a blessing. Now, you may not want to be a blessing at that moment, but you'll realize it's the Lord who's speaking and you'll say yes. Now, for the remainder of our time this morning, I want to share some thoughts about the life of faith, because it's not just Lech Lecha, there are other aspects to the life of faith. And I want to start with something that's so foundational that it may not have occurred to you. The life of faith cannot begin until we first recognize God. The recognition of God is the very first step. We have to recognize that he exists. We have to recognize that he is real. We have to recognize that he is God and not a religious idea or philosophy. He's not a concept. He is God. He's personal. He knows you. He knows your name. He created you. He has plans for you. He's prepared a future for you. And the first step for Abraham was to recognize that God was God. There weren't many gods. There was one God. Now, the second aspect of the life of faith is so important. I really want to focus on this. It's fellowship with God. The life of faith develops with us and in us as we fellowship with the Lord. And that means we have to spend time with him. We have to become aware of his presence. We have to know where he is and be with him and enjoy that sense of his presence. When you come to the house of the Lord, you should come with this expectation you're going to meet with the Lord, that he will be here with you. It should not be a rarity that you experience the presence of God and you have fellowship with God. You should be able to wake up in the morning and talk to the Lord and know he's there with you. You should be able to drive to work or to school and know he's with you. You should be able to go about your business and know he's with you. Why? Because he promises, don't be afraid, because I am with you. and he wants us to have fellowship. It is not enough to believe in God. He wants us to have fellowship. It's just like, I love to say this over and over again because it's such a good example. If you simply say to your wife, guys, I believe you exist, it's not going to draw you closer. It's not enough. You can practice, guys, if you're sitting next to your gals and you just turn to her and say, I believe you're real. They're going to think you're loony. But you talk to her sweet, and you'll see a difference. You say, honey, I love you. I adore you. I like to use words like that with my wife. You talk like that to the Lord. Lord, I love you. And I tell you what, you'll start experiencing the presence of God. You may feel like nothing's going on. You start talking to God. God, I love you. I so appreciate you. You're wonderful. And you let what comes out of your heart go out of your mouth. I tell you what, you'll experience fellowship with the Lord. Now, we have to develop this awareness and this sense. Sometimes we're oblivious to the presence of God. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, said that once when he had that whole that vision of Jacob's ladder, of the Lord going up and down, the angels going up and down, the connection of the Lord between heaven and earth. And he got up and he made this proclamation. He said, the Lord is in this place and I did not know. And I know every one of us has had the experience of being somewhere where God was, but we didn't realize it. And he was there and available and wanting to fellowship with us, but we were oblivious or closed or something. Now, one of the ways you can become more aware of the Lord's presence is to say to the Lord, Hineni, here I am. Why don't you say that in Hebrew? Hineni, here I am. That is the response of faith. Hineni, here I am, Lord. And what follows it is, Hineni, Lord, send me. Hineni, Lord, use me. Hineni, Lord, I'm listening to you. Speak to your servant. This is the hallmark of the faith of Abraham and our relationship with God. It's different from Adam. When God called out to Adam, Adam was hiding. When God called to Abraham, Abraham answered him. What's so fascinating to me is that God says, if we say Hineni to him when we call him, he'll answer us. And you know what he'll say? Hineni. When you call to God as a man of faith, as a woman of faith, God will say, Hineni, here I am. Here I am. Let's talk. He won't hide himself. That's Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9. You will call out to the Lord and he will answer, Hineni, here am I. Some people say, well, I just can't find the Lord. Well, make yourself found. Hineni, Lord, here I am. I love what the Psalms say in Psalm 89, verse 26. It says, the servant of God will call out to God, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. Avi, my Father. Eli, my God. Tzur, the rock. Yeshuati, my Savior, my salvation. You see, the servant of the Lord talks to God and fellowships with God and proclaims to him what he or she knows about the Lord. Lord, you're my Father. Lord, you're my God. Lord, you're a rock. You're the rock. You are my salvation. And when you tell the Lord that, you'll start experiencing the presence of the Lord. Now, another aspect of the life of faith is listening to God. Genesis 12, verse 1, which we read earlier, says it so simply, the Lord said to Abraham. You see, the life of faith is exciting because we learn to listen to God. We learn how to hear his voice. We learn to listen to what he says. and we learn to hear him all the different ways that he can speak. Now, God can speak spirit to spirit. He can speak heart to heart. He can speak mind to mind. He can speak through the written scriptures. He can speak through the rhema, the spoken word. He can even speak to you through other people. There are times when I'm praying with people and they pray something and the Holy Spirit speaks to me through their prayers. I hear something through their prayers. Has anybody else had that experience? You've heard the Lord when someone else is praying. Not so many of you. You need to pray more. God can even speak to you through other speakers. There have been times when I've heard the word of the Lord to me through someone who I didn't expect to be able to say anything useful. I was remembering last night how I was at a conference once. This was during a period of my life where we traveled a lot and I was in many different cities and often ended up at conferences to listen to different people. I was at one conference and the speaker wasn't someone I particularly liked or enjoyed or agreed with. And in fact, he said so many things I disagreed with that I just started making a mental list of everything he was doing wrong. I was irritated. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of situation. I think many of us have. And I was just finding fault with him. And the context was terrible. He was taking up an offering and he went, I think, 90 minutes. Yeah, cry to the truth. I was disturbed by how long he was going, just irritated. I wanted out of there. I had no goodwill towards this person at that moment. And what really disturbed me is I felt that the Lord would have the same opinion I had. What was troubling was that wasn't the opinion of the Lord. You see, the Lord wanted to use that man to give me something from the Lord. I didn't want to receive anything from him. I was so closed to him, I could not receive anything from him. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, listen to him like you like him. That was a big challenge because I didn't like him. And I thought, wow, that's the Lord. Some of you may say, well, how do you know it was the Lord, not just your thoughts? Well, my thoughts were going in the whole other direction. This was a total disagreement with what I was thinking and what my opinion was. That's one of the ways you know. I just didn't think of this because all of my thoughts were, this guy, he's useless. Well, I decided to listen to the Holy Spirit because he took the time to tell me this. You see, you have to honor God when he gives you something. That's the time to pay attention. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna change my posture. I was closed. You know the body language for when you're closed? How many of you can do it? Yeah, you got it. I was sitting like that. Yeah, so I decided, unfold my arms. So I unfolded my arms and I decided instead of frowning, I would smile. And so I started smiling at the speaker to the point where I was afraid he'd look at me and recognize and take notice, you know, maybe come over and while he's talking. But I decided to smile at him and I decided I would think about him the way I would think about a good friend who was speaking and try to find the good in anything he said. So I started making notes in my mind about the good things he was saying. It was so interesting. When I was only paying attention to the bad things, I had a full list, but I had zero items on the good side of what he was saying. I had to tune out all that negativity that I was bringing and listen with different ears, and I started hearing good things. Now, he still said some garbage, don't get me wrong. But that wasn't the point. The point was, God wanted to give me something through him that wasn't garbage, it was good. So I started listening and I started hearing good things and I came away feeling like I had received something from the Lord. It really had an impact on my attitude. It's something I've learned over the years. When I go to hear someone speak, I try to say, Lord, give me something through them. I have been in places where I may have been the only one who received. I've heard speakers stumble and stammer and not know what they're trying to communicate, or communicating wrong things or confusing things. And yet the Lord has sifted out through that and given me something. There have been times when I've seen speakers who are struggling to get across what they're trying to get across. And I've said, Lord, help them. Why? So that I can receive what you're trying to give to me. Help them. Help them, Lord. Now, I know it's not always easy to do. Sometimes we're critical. Sometimes when people are not doing well, we want them just to finish up. And only one time have I seen that happen. I was at a big conference, and there was a speaker, internationally well-known speaker, and he was struggling with his message, which was very unusual for him. He struggled and struggled, and there was no sense of anointing or grace on him for a solid 15 minutes. He had an hour to speak. And after 15 minutes, he did something I'd never seen anyone do. He just walked away from his notes and he said, this is not going well. I think I just need to stop and to pray and to ask the Lord what to do. And so he decided he would not continue his message. And instead, he took notice of what the Lord was wanting to do. Because of that, we all prayed with him. And you know what? God used him to do something great following that. But he had to stop. And I think he was able to stop because some people were saying to the Lord, help him, Lord, he needs help. Help him. You see, you'll always get more out of every service that you go to if you're praying to the Lord. Help them. Help that worship leader. Help that speaker. Help that teacher. Help that rabbi. Help those dancers. Help everyone. It's really amazing how we can learn to open our spiritual ears if we learn to listen carefully to what God is wanting to say to us. If you assume that God wants to be with you and speak to you every time you come, he will. He will come. Now, you may experience what no one else experiences. I have been in services here where afterwards someone comes to me and says, boy, the Lord was just so strong and powerful here today. And I've had other people come up and their eyes are glazed over, and I know what they were thinking about is lunch or the game or how tight their shoes are. But sometimes the person sitting next to you will get more than you get out of a service because they want to receive from the Lord. They come with that expectation. They come with that openness. You will always do better if you have the same. Now, listening includes more than just hearing with our physical ears. It includes what you could call hearkening in Old English. Hearkening means to hear and to do, to hear and to put into action. And God has called us not just to physically listen, but he's called us to do what he says. Imagine if Abraham did not take to heart that he needed to do what God said. What if he thought he could start a ministry based on what God said, and he didn't even need to do it? And he comes up with a new ministry. You know what the name would be? Lech Lecha Ministries. And he's going to teach people about Lech Lecha. He can't teach. Why? Because he hasn't done it. But his life becomes a message and a teaching to us. As we learn to listen, we need to learn to do, because there's no reason to listen if we're not going to respond. Obedience to what God gives us is part of what we embrace. When we leave certain things as we come to God. We embrace other things. We leave the life of unresponsive independence, and we embrace the life of obedience and servanthood. We embrace a life where God not only saves us from sin, but he leads us and he mentors us. He instructs us and he fellowships with us. So many rich details about the faith of Abraham and what we can learn from it. I can only cover a few more in the time that we have remaining. One of the great joys of the life of faith comes to us through answers to prayer. When we pray and God answers us, it's exciting. Have you ever been in a tight spot and you prayed and God got you out of that situation? We learn to pray with specifics. The man who mentored me and discipled me as a new believer taught me this. Pray specifically. Pray about specifics, because when God answers you about specifics, you'll know he answered, and then you can know that your prayer is actually connecting you with him. When we fellowship with the Lord, he puts certain things on our hearts, and that helps us learn how to pray. We pray about those very things, and he answers us. It's exciting. When God puts something in your heart and you start praying in that direction and he moves in that direction, it's exciting. Some of you have answers to such prayers, miracle babies. Anybody in the room have a miracle baby? Anybody in the room who is a miracle baby, who grew up and your existence was a miracle? Anybody here experience a healing from God where he physically, medically healed you? Have any of you had provision from the Lord where he gave to you what you could not get for yourself? Or how about breakthroughs? Anybody here get a breakthrough from the Lord that you couldn't get on your own? You see, when you pray about those things and then you get them, it changes you. It's exciting. I love to think about the great things that God has done for me, but also the great things he's done for other people. Sometimes I just like to be with other people who tell me who tell me about their stories of how God answered prayers for them. When I hear their reports, it makes me strong. It makes me excited. And you know what? It distinguishes the kind of life that I want to live from all other kinds of life. The life of faith includes answers to prayer. Now, if you don't fellowship with God, you won't be able to pray effectively. You'll be limited in what you pray about. And if you pray without fellowship, you're going to pray only in certain directions. That's why Yeshua said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, these are fellowship words. If you fellowship with me and my word fellowships with you, you can ask what you want and it will be done for you. You know why? Because you get changed. You start wanting what God wants. You start asking for what he wants. And you start receiving what he wants to give you. And then you realize, wow, he gave me this. He did this for me. That's so thrilling. I love to combine fellowship with prayer. Many times in my life, I've fellowshiped with the Lord in worship, and he answered a prayer that I had been praying at other times. I don't know about you, but there are times when I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. It can go on for years and I don't get a clear answer. But I have a sense of how to pray. Can any of you relate to this? A sense of how to pray, but I don't get an answer. And then one day I'm worshiping. Could be just a normal service and I'm worshiping. And at that very moment, the Lord answers me. And then I see the answer unfold. It is thrilling to live like that. If you don't know that kind of life, that's the life of faith. That's what you want. It's not just being a religious person who attends religious services and fulfills religious duties and tries to keep the religious rules of do's and don'ts. It's connecting to God, fellowshipping with God, learning to love God, to talk to Him, to have intimacy with Him, to have the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God is not about what you eat or drink, but it's righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. You want to see the rule of God in your life, the kingdom of God. You've got to be open to joy and open to His righteousness and open to His peace so you can be led by peace. The other day, I was having lunch with several rabbis who are dear friends, and we were talking about our understanding of Torah and God's word and its authority, and it was quite stimulating. And each of us was trying to give clear answers to say what we were really trying to say and not say what we weren't. And we were asking questions like, is the Torah, the laws of the Torah of God obligatory to us? It was an interesting question. Is there a price we pay if we don't follow God's law? And so we were wrestling with the right language. It was really interesting. And in the next few months, I'll address some of the issues that we were discussing. But I raised the question. I said, okay, so we all think that God's Torah is important. How many of us in our congregation celebrate Rosh Chodesh every month? And I'm saying this to the rabbis there. And some were saying, well, if it falls on Shabbat, we do. And it's like, you know, well, then you rarely will. And it turned out we're all a little sloppy on that. As this group of four rabbis who were talking. And so I just asked the question, what gives us the freedom to ignore something? And we all said, well, you know, we're giving ourselves too much freedom in some areas, not in all areas. But we decided, I think at that moment, each one of us independently, to give ourselves a little bit less slack in trying to do some things that God was putting on our heart from the Word. It was a healthy thing. It was a wonderful thing. And every one of the rabbis I was talking to is a sincere man of God and a proven leader and really established. But it was like the Holy Spirit was trying to stir up something that wasn't stirred up in any of us individually. How do you have that kind of stirring? It comes when you fellowship with the Lord and with the people who are fellowshipping with the Lord. And when you do that, you'll hear things. Your spirit will become awakened. You'll be quickened to the things of God. And you'll want to say yes to things you didn't even care about before. But they'll become precious to you. And when those things become precious to you, you'll know that God had done something. I think this life of faith is adventurous. And I think when we live as Abraham lived, that we cannot help but have an impact on other people. Why? Because we change. And that change works for good on behalf of other people. It's not that we become do-gooders and social activists. It's that good starts working in our lives differently. And we who are active with God become more expressive. And that's how we impact more. That's how we become a blessing to other people. You see, God says, I'll bless you. The first way He blesses us, He draws close to us. He comes close. Don't be afraid, the Haftorah says. I'm with you. That's the greatest blessing. What blessing will drive out fear? The presence of God. Fellowship with God. I want to encourage you. This life of faith is exciting. This life of faith is rewarding. This life of faith is not stagnant. There is more in front of you than you could imagine right now. You may have been walking with the Lord for 40 years, And there's more ahead. There are things you can't imagine that he wants to do for you. You may have just put your toe into the water. It's exciting what's ahead for you. I want to encourage you as you're reading about the life of Abraham and as you're going forward in this year, just open yourself up to the kind of exciting life that Abraham had. And as you do, you're going to find this is more thrilling than all the amusement parks in Disney, than all the exciting things you could do somewhere else. This makes Orlando look like a drab town. The life of faith is amazing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. You call things that are not as though they were. You speak and things are created. You call us and you ask us to respond, and we're saying, Hineni, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, your servant, listening for your word. Send your word to us. Empower us for these things that you're calling us into. And I pray, Lord, for a release of your boldness, for a release of your power, that we would be filled with faith and hope and courage and love as we move forward in you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Don't be all by yourself. Thank you, Rick, for joining me. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace, his shalom, in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.